is Hunt setting up his man in front. Carrier scores! It's his first goal. William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas.
And welcome in to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a game day. A day that's going to see the Pittsburgh Penguins, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions, getting their first look at T-Mobile Arena. Marc-Andre Fleury getting the first look at his old team. James Neal getting a look at his old team. Derek Englund getting a look at his old team. Lots of storylines to cover today, and we're going to have it all the way for you. Clayton Hamilton and Frank Harnisch here today. And Frank, when you looked at the calendar of all the games that have been circled, this might have the biggest circle around it.
No, it's certainly one of the games out there, and it's kind of funny because Tuesday night we were talking about how all the sizzle that wasn't there for the Carolina Hurricanes, and it's nothing against them, but, you know, they're not one of the marquee teams in the league. Everything that wasn't there Tuesday is there and amped up that much more to the nth degree tonight because of Marc-Andre Fleury, because of James Neal, because of other connections as well, because of two-time Stanley Cups, because it's the Pittsburgh Penguins. Everything tonight, this is one of the games that definitely everybody had circled, whether they're a former Pittsburgh Penguin or not, because of the Stanley Cups and everything else. I mean, this is a game that everyone wants to see, and you can see that if you go to StubHub or someplace else and try to get tickets for it. This is not going to be your cheap ticket tonight. If you're going, you're going to pay for it.
All of the stars aligning and converging for a pre-holiday treat, and a good treat for us as well, because we get to talk to one of our buddies, Jason Mackey from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. We love when Pittsburgh's in town because we get to say hello to him, and he has been kind enough to make a little time for us today. Welcome in, Jason.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. That's a heck of an introduction there.
Yeah, we'll do that for you, even though I saw you yesterday with a Pittsburgh Steeler hat on, and that hurts my Cleveland Brown soul.
You know what, though, man? I hear, like, the Cleveland-Pittsburgh rivalry thing. It's not much of a rivalry.
I mean,
if I'm going to put my Steelers hat on right now, figuratively and literally, you know, the teams that we don't like. I mean, you got Cincy, you got Baltimore. You guys are like way down there. If anything, I find myself rooting for Cleveland. Like, it would be a lot better for Cleveland as a city, which is an awesome city, if the Browns just got this stuff together.
Yeah, you know, we had a nice rivalry with you for a 2-year period in the late 80s when the Cleveland Browns were actually good. But hard times have come of late, but not hard times for Pittsburgh, not just for the Steelers, but for the Penguins. Two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. You got three cups while Marc-Andre Fleury was there. Things are riding high for the Penguins.
Well, to a degree. Their wins and losses right now might be a little bit deceptive, though. Being around this team every day, I would not say that there is a riding high kind of vibe right now. I think, you know, their record and some other things might be tolerated in some other markets, but it's not going great right now. The Penguins lost 3 of 4 following a 4-game winning streak. They just had a homestand. They finished up 2 wins in the past 5. General Manager Jim Rutherford yesterday spoke to me and then a bunch of other outlets and basically said that's unacceptable. We're not happy with the homestand. We're getting to the point where if this doesn't get better, we're going to be looking at a serious trade/shakeup. And so that's where we're at in Pittsburgh. They're looking at this thing, this 3-game road trip here, pretty darn critically, especially for tonight's game. And if they don't get some scoring, a better start, and a better finish as well, but if some things don't start going right, you can definitely see some changes coming down the pike.
Yeah, and along with the scoring, you also have to stop the other team from scoring. How big of a lift it is to the team that Matt Murray is back in net tonight for them, although his stats aren't exactly Vezina winning right now at this point, but he's had some injury problems in that. But everybody's talking about Marc-Andre Fleury and how happy we are here in Vegas that he's back in the lineup, but Murray's missed 5 games himself.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit easier to take based on how well Tristan Jarry played in the games that Matt has missed. But, yeah, I mean, make no mistake, Murray is this team's horse. He's its meal ticket, and he's played a lot better than those numbers will tell you. I know what the goals against average is. I know what the save percentage is. And it looks like a guy who would probably be benched. But in there, there are 2 games. I actually did this afternoon in something I wrote. I don't know if I tweeted it or not, but the second game of the season, he came on in relief in Chicago and gave up 6 goals. The team was absolutely awful in front of him. and I think it was October 29th, they went to Winnipeg. Murray played the second night of a back-to-back. And again, the team was awful. They had struggled the second night of back-to-backs a lot. And so if you take those two games out of it, his goals against average goes down to like 2.6. I think his save percentage is 920, 921. Like respectable numbers. But it's just two games that have kind of skewed those. So I wouldn't read too much into Murray's stats. He is very capable of getting on a roll. And honestly, guys, they need him to get on a roll and string some wins together. They need something to it. Like they just need, you know, Crosby or Malkin to get on a tear, or Phil Kessel to even do more than he's been doing, or Matt Murray to start stealing a couple games. I think that's what this team needs to get back in the right direction, is just have some of their horses carry them for a stretch.
For a lot of fans in the Vegas area that have picked up ice hockey this season, we're going to get a treat by seeing Sidney Crosby come into town and play in front of a packed house tonight. What can you tell the new fan to hockey about Sidney Crosby, the player that he is, what he's meant to this team and this league?
Yeah, that's actually a terrific question and something I would love to speak on about Crosby and someone who does get to watch him every single day. You know, it's a shame morning skates aren't open, because I would love to show people who are new to hockey kind of what everybody else does and what Sid does. But I can talk about it. And this isn't like me championing my team as a journalist. Like, I feel like, you know, even when I talk about this stuff, it kind of blurs the line between beat reporter and like team employee. But any NHL player, you just have to respect the amount of effort and focus that Crosby puts in. For example, morning skates, the guys will be skating around and sort of like chatting about last night or goofing around or whatever. It's no big thing. You'll see Crosby in the circle like firing pucks, doing these hyper-focused drills all the time. And to me, you just have to appreciate that. And tonight, anybody listening to this show that's going to the game tonight, watch Crosby in the corner. Watch how many times he battles. And for a superstar, this is fairly unique. I mean, you don't see a guy going in there with such great puck control, body control. Watch how he uses his butt, his legs. He's so strong on the puck. When you talk about that, the amount of speed that he plays with, the vision, the passes that he can see and make, his shot is elite. I hope he uses it more. He's kind of been a little bit sporadic in how much he looks to shoot versus pass. Working back and forth with a line mate such as Jake Guentzel. I know when I watch games, I'll oftentimes just spend time watching Crosby for a shift. Like, I don't care about where the puck is. I just want to see what Crosby does. And it'll be tremendously entertaining. I mean, back checks hard. He's great in his own zone. Very good on the breakout. But he is an absolute treat. I hope Vegas fans see and appreciate that tonight.
You know, if Sidney Crosby wasn't there, the focal point of this team would probably be Yevgeny Malkin. In fact, he might be the focal point on any team that didn't have Sidney Crosby on it. But because Sid is there, it seems like he can kind of be in the back a little bit and just focus on his game and everything, because everybody wants to talk to Crosby so much. What can you tell us about Malkin and the type of player that he is as well? Because he's respected and he's loved around the league, but he gets a little bit of a pass, it almost seems, from the media, because he's not the main focal point in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he does. And they kind of do that by design too, guys. I mean, you know, Gino will come out after the game when things are heavy. You know, if they suffer a really ugly loss, you can guarantee Malkin will be there. And he's kind of like, you know, I don't want to say the bearer of bad news, but like oftentimes if things are really bad, the quotes we're going to get come from Malkin. But, you know, that's kind of by design. And Malkin will every so often kind of hold court for a while. And when Gino talks, that's an easy story for the day. While Sid is kind of like, you know, every day, steady. He doesn't really say anything incendiary, but he's available a lot. And so he takes some heat off of Malkin. You know, he lets Malkin kind of be himself and be a little bit goofy. And he can, you know, I don't want to call it a good cop, bad cop, but you have a kind of a straight-laced vanilla guy versus the one who's, you know, a little bit more of a character. And I think that works well. One thing that people I don't think appreciate enough about those two guys is just how darn close they are. They are really good friends. Like, it's not a rivalry. There's no resentment there. Like, Crosby wants Malkin to win every single award he can, vice versa. Malkin is a huge fan of watching Sid play. And that being said, they're two completely different players, but they're both tremendously talented in their own way. I can't envision a world where the Penguins don't employ both either.
When you look at this Vegas Golden Knights team, there's a lot of players that are making the most of an opportunity, and that is something that can be said of Jake Guentzel, who came in and just played a whale of a Stanley Cup and is now folding into this team. What have you seen out of him that has said that, you know, here's a guy that's here to stay?
Well, one, the moment has never looked too big for Guentzel. Even when he came up last year, and then he's playing a role in the playoffs and playing it really, really well, scoring big goals in big games. A couple of the things that stand out to me, though, about why he's been able to stick around and do what he's been able to do, his vision has been really, really important. I talked earlier about Sid being able to like read and react with a line mate. I think that's why him and Guentzel have been so good, just because they're so smart. They see the game the same way. They can read and react off of each other. And I also kind of joke with people from time to time that I almost think like Jake Guentzel is made of rubber or something. Like he plays so much bigger than he is. He goes in front of the net, goes in the corners, and does all these things that like you would expect a guy who's 6'2", 200 pounds, which Guentzel is nowhere near, to go do. And he does them really well. I don't know how he does them for his size. He takes some shots, gets knocked down, and he gets right back up again. Releases the puck very well. That's another one of his assets. But he's just been able to consistently produce. Honestly, guys, he had a stretch earlier this year. I think he scored one goal in 10 games. But other than that, he's been really, really, really consistent.
Injuries are part of the game in the NHL like it is in every sport out there. And every team has a mentality of next man up. But in Pittsburgh, it seems like they really take that to heart, and it really seems like it works for this team. We talk about a guy like Guentzel. He gets the opportunity. He made the most of it last year. He's still playing well this year. Last year, Chris Letang went down before the playoffs, and everybody thought, oh, that's the end of Pittsburgh before the playoffs. Matt Murray goes down with an injury. What is it about this team that every single person that comes in there not only believes in themselves, but the locker room and the coaching staff seems to believe in them, and it truly seems like the next man up truly is the next man up? And I don't want to say they don't miss a beat, because obviously injuries hurt you, but they seem to make those adjustments and it doesn't affect them as negatively as it does most teams.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually. I was talking to a couple guys about this morning, then I asked Mike Sullivan, the latest edition of that you're going to see tonight is a kid named Dominic Simone. He's a young forward who is slotting into a role next to Crosby, and it's just another in the long line of like next guys up. I'll speak on the team culture aspect of that in a second, but I just wanted to sort of kick this off with Simone. The Penguins have done just a tremendous job grooming young forwards, getting them ready to go, making sure they play a two-way game, and then when they get up there, they're ready to go. And so I think that's one reason why they've been able to have the next man up, literally, and plug and play players from their minor league system, which has also been very good. That's another thing that deserves credit. But I give Mike Sullivan a lot of credit for that too. Just the mindset that he's created around this team. He's a Boston guy. He's a Patriots fan. He idolizes Bill Belichick. Like, not to go down the football road too much, but he's very much in the camp of, you know, next man up. That mentality, whenever somebody goes down, like, our team's not going to crater because of it. He's created this. It's an expectation that you go in there and you're expected to do well, do whatever your role is. And the Penguins have just done a tremendous job of executing that, making new guys feel welcome. And, you know, there's a reason they've won back-to-back cups.
Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Clayton and Frank being joined by Jason Mackey of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And on the idea of coming in here the first time, seeing T-Mobile Arena, seeing the Vegas Golden Knights, what have your impressions been from them from afar and then up close that you got to see them at Skate the other day?
I've loved it. I've been watching, I'm guilty of this, but you guys won't mind, but you know, I have the NHL package on my computer, and after Penguins games, I come home and, you know, I usually have a soda pop or two on the couch and flip through and see what good games they're on. And man, every single time I ended up watching Vegas. I love the way you guys play. I like Gallant teams back from his Florida days, and you know what, how they were able to play with speed and pace and attack and all this stuff. And you know, I really like Vegas. I like the speed that you guys play with, the depth up front. I didn't think the forwards would be as good as they've been, but the role Marchessault has been on, and William Karlsson, he looks like a different player than he did in Columbus. And you know, also to the sort of the buildings and the aesthetics and the way you guys have done hockey, I could not possibly be more impressed with T T-Mobile, how we're treated by the media relations staff, what the practice facility looks like, the job you guys have done. Like, it is awesome. I've come away from this experience thinking that, you know, I wish hockey in Vegas would have happened a long, long time ago, because boy, does it look really good right now, the way this is all shaking out.
Really appreciate the time here. And I have to ask you this while we still got a few minutes here with you. The other day in the locker room, I noticed you and another reporter from Pittsburgh over there talking with Marc-Andre Fleury. The Vegas media was kind of, we were kind of letting him do his thing and do his own thing in that. But you guys seemed to have a conversation that wasn't really like an interview. It just seemed like old friends kind of getting together again a little bit. What was that like? And can you share a little bit of what that was like there? Because it genuinely seemed like he was happy to see some people from Pittsburgh and ask how things were going back in the Berg.
Yeah, and we did it twice, too. And I'm thankful to Eric, the media relations guy, that, you know, he didn't bust it up or anything, because, honestly, it is tough to treat Marc-Andre Fleury like a typical player just because of how much respect we all have for him. And I think how much respect he has for Pittsburgh as well. He played there for a long time, and he was more than just a guy who came in and left. He is one of the most well-liked athletes in the history of our city. I know as a writer, any time I write something on Fleury, it blows up in terms of fan interest. We're just talking about his family, how he's liking it here, and how he's being treated. I don't think Mark would mind me sharing that he was just going on and on about how happy he is and how great of a situation this is. And, you know, his wife and girls love it, and that he's treated first class by the team, and we're winning, and it's a great culture, and people are upbeat. And you know, this wasn't on the record stuff. Like, if he wanted to trash Vegas, he probably would have done it. Like, we weren't taking that and putting it in a newspaper or on a website, but he was just glowing about Vegas. And you know what? From our perspective, we're happy for him. You know, you guys are treating him well. You're winning games. It's a great story. Like, we're just happy he's happy. His teammates are the same way. You know, but at the same time, like, Mark still cares about Sid. He cares about Letang. He cares about Hornquist and Malkin. Like, you know, he wants to see those guys. And he's asking us how they're doing, how things are going. And part of that is because he's just so darn nice. But he's also, you know, he spent a lot of his life in Pittsburgh, and I don't think he's ever going to stop caring about the place.
Well, Jason, we know you're a busy man, and we appreciate you taking a little time out to talk to us. We look forward to seeing you at the arena tonight. Where can folks find your stuff beyond just the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette?
No problem. Well, I'm on Twitter, at jmackeypg. And post-gazette.com is where all of our coverage is located.
All right. Well, thank you, Jason. We'll see you at the rink tonight. We get things underway. Frank, 6:30 tonight, you and I will have the pregame show, 7 o'clock puck drop, intermission report, and postgame as well. And I said I've been looking forward to this since the schedule came out. This is one of the first teams I looked for to see when they were coming to town.
Yeah, to be honest about it, I've kind of almost been looking forward to this since before the Stanley Cup was over last year, when we knew that Marc-Andre Fleury and what he had done and how he said, don't trade me, let's win one more cup in that. And we had that feeling at that point that he was going to be coming here. At that point, you're like, Marc-Andre Fleury is going to come to Vegas. That is going to happen. When are they going to be playing the Penguins, and when is it going to be here at T-Mobile? So, yeah, I mean, literally since before last season ended, I've been looking forward to this one. Didn't know what the date was at that point, but now it's finally here. And this is not going to be like a normal Thursday night in Las Vegas. This is going to be a fever pitch, almost, dare I say it, playoff type of atmosphere from the excitement and everything else. And I'm really happy for Marc-Andre Fleury, and I'm curious and excited to see what that embrace is going to be like before and even after the games with Matt Murray, with Sidney Crosby, with Malkin and everything, because he has so many ties there. And it's not just him. James Neal and some other guys also have ties with Pittsburgh. And like we said, they have won three. They've won the last two Stanley Cups and multiple Stanley Cups throughout their history. They're a pretty good franchise.
They are, and if is morning skate's any indication, and sometimes morning skate on a game day, Frank, is lightly attended because it's just a quick half hour, and you know you don't see a full out practice. But they were standing 3-4 deep around Marc-Andre Fleury behind his net, and he was at the net closest to the parking lot where the public can stand, and there were so many people that usually sit up in the stands that wanted to get right down on the glass to see him. We saw a lot of Pittsburgh Fleury jerseys, some Team Canada as well, so it should be a pretty fun atmosphere tonight.
And that's going to be one of the interesting things about it. Normally when we see the other team's jersey, you just assume that the fan is rooting for the other team. But there's going to be a lot of Pittsburgh Marc-Andre Fleurys, and you're not going to really know, are there allegiance with the Pittsburgh Penguins or with Marc-Andre Fleury as a Vegas Golden Knight? Are they kind of haunted and go down the middle a little bit here and there? Like, we know a lot of people out here, are they've jumped onto this team as well. So it will be interesting tonight. And but again, it's also got to be a strange night for everybody on the Penguin team facing him. You know that every single one of them probably loves the guy, but in the back of their mind, they certainly want to score against him. And then Matt Murray and everything that they've done together, he's going to be going, well, gee, I really like Mark, and I hope we can have a beer after the game. But he wants to kick his butt tonight as well. So there's a lot of different emotions there. But once they drop that puck and both goalies have faced a couple saves, then it's going to be game on as normal.
Tremendous amount of layers to this evening. It makes me think about what David Perron was saying yesterday, Frank, was that, you know, he speaks to Perron in French, and, you know, he's got words, you know, in English or other players, and I'm sure he knows some Russian phrases, Czech as well. You know, what does he say to Crosby when he's near the net, or what does he say to Letang, or what does he say perhaps in Russian to Malkin when he gets close?
Yeah, I have no idea. And you also have to wonder if maybe does he throw something out there in the mental thing because of his voice recognition where they were like, hey, throw it over here, I'm open. And, oh, wait a second, I'm supposed to be shooting. Who knows what's going to go on there tonight, but it is going to be a lot of fun. I did like, and I know that we're going to play some sound bites and different things later on showing that as well, but some of the things that Crosby said about him and how normally goalies are a little bit quiet in this and that, but not necessarily the case with Marc-Andre Fleury, and as much as they like him, they kind of hope he's not chirping a lot tonight, mm-hmm. because might not be the best thing for the Penguins. Might be the best thing for Golden Knights fans, though.
The Stars are certainly out tonight at T-Mobile Arena, and the Stars are going to be with us the rest of the show because we are going to hear from Marc-Andre Fleury. We're going to hear from Sidney Crosby, and we're going to hear from James Neal. So the who's who of hockey players in this game all going to be joining us on the second half of this show. But there is just a little bit of news to tend to, Frank, and that involves another high-profile goaltender in Devan Dubnyk. He is going to be out for the Minnesota Wild week to week with a lower body injury.
Yeah, and boy, you know, again, one of the things that drives me crazy in hockey is how they upper body and lower body is pretty much all the information they give you. But Dubnyk, one of those guys who has really made great strides the last season or two. I believe Bruce Boudreau said last year that he was the best goalie in all of hockey. Well, Carey Price and Bobrovsky and other guys might have some things to say about that, but he certainly is a quality goalie. He's one of the bigger guys as well. We've talked about how size in the net. He's very flexible. He has his confidence. A lot of goalies getting hurt these days. If you want a steady job where you're going to get some playing time, don't try to be a backup quarterback or something like that in some other sport. Be a backup goalie because you are going to get playing time because it's a very physical position. Guys crashing into you, pucks coming at you 120 miles an hour, everything else that goes on in that crease. Yeah, that's why you need the goalie depth and everything. But for Minnesota fans, I hope he's back, but I'm much more concerned about the goaltending tonight at T-Mobile than what's going on in Minnesota.
Certainly a concern for the Minnesota Wild fans if they're going to have success this year. Devan Dubnyk going to be a centerpiece of it. And you also have out in Ottawa, Frank, you said we have a retirement that hit the waiver wire today.
Yes, Chris Neal has retired after 15 years with the Ottawa Senators. He was a six-round draft pick. He said that one of the things that he's always admired about and liked about his own career is that he's always been the underdog. He hasn't been big enough. He hasn't been strong enough. He hasn't been fast enough. But he's managed to parlay that into 15 years. And maybe because he isn't the biggest guy in the world, some people have taken runs at him here and there. But he also leads the Ottawa Senators all time in penalty minutes. So if you go after him, he will come back after you as well. But one of those hard-nosed players, not a household name exactly, but he's hanging him up there for the Ottawa Senators. I don't know if he's going to make an appearance at the outdoor game this Sunday or not.
And he is actually. He said he's going to play. He's already been added to the alumni roster. So they're getting a young buck in the alumni game for that. But hats off to Mr. Neal and anybody that can play 15 years in the league. Full marks to you on your career when it comes to, especially said, being an underdog guy. But guys that are not underdogs, Marc-Andre Fleury, Sidney Crosby, James Neal, the biggest stars among stars, are going to be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to hear from them about tonight's big matchup between the Golden Knights and the Pittsburgh Penguins. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Big game tonight, game number 31. Defending Stanley Cup champion Pittsburgh Penguins are in town, 16-13-3, 35 points on the ledger against your Vegas Golden Knights. And Frank, how good does this sound? 19-9-2, 40 points on the ledger, 5 points ahead of the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions.
Yeah, it's very good, but the points as far as them against Pittsburgh means absolutely nothing because they're in different conferences and divisions. So what I'm more looking at is they're 3 points behind the LA Kings, who have two games in hand. So if they're able to win tonight, and should they win Sunday, they would be back in first place as far as all those games evening up and everything. So it's a big night for that. And it's also a big night after that lethargic performance that they had against Columbus on Tuesday night. They need to refocus here because this is a tough homestand. Pittsburgh, a lot of emotion and everything else. They may be sixth place in the Metropolitan right now. They're still the two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. Florida comes in Sunday. Tampa Bay, the best team in the NHL right now at this point of the season, comes in after that. Washington with Ovechkin and a very high score. An offense and a pretty good goalie themselves and Brandon Holtby come into town. This is a tough homestand. They've had magic at the T-Mobile. They need to keep it going, and tonight is the night that emotion's great. The excitement level is going to be great. Bottom line is they need a W.
They do need a W, and as you said, a lethargic effort against Carolina on Tuesday. Hopeful that they will rebound in terms of their emotion level. I would suspect that they will. So many storylines. Marc-Andre Fleury against his old team. Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin coming in, seeing T-Mobile for the very first time. Lots of the NHL eyes focused on this one. It's going to be shown nationally on NHL Network, and the Golden Knights haven't had many opportunities to be on national television. Certainly everyone over there at the network probably didn't know they were going to be this good, had scheduled other games on their network, but the nation getting a first or maybe second look tonight at the Golden Knights.
Yeah, and if the Golden Knights keep on playing the way they are, look for them to get more and more exposure on NHL Network and other places and bonus coverage and all that. By the way, technically, this won't be the first time that Crosby has seen T-Mobile because he saw him at the NHL Awards. Well, the first time on the ice and all that kind of stuff. So, but I'm just kind of, just giving you a little bit of gruff there. But I mean, yeah, they've been in town. But it's the first time that they're going to be at T-Mobile and see the excitement that's here in Vegas with the hockey team and everything. They've heard about it. They've heard other people tell them about it, I'm sure. They've seen it on NHL Network and NBC and everything else out there. It's a different thing when you are in the midst of it.
It certainly is. And Marc-Andre Fleury, he's getting his only second, third look at T-Mobile as well. Let's not forget he missed all of those games. So all of this is still a bit new to him. We had the opportunity to catch up with Marc-Andre Fleury as he held court, and one of the first things that he had to address was coming back from his concussion.
It was long, it's very frustrating. You never know how long it's going to be, right, with concussion. That's what's tough, though. You always think, like, you have a good day, you think you're coming back, and then the next day you feel like crap. Can I say that?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. I think so. It's better than the other word. Yeah, okay. So I think it's just very frustrating, and when you have many days that you don't feel well, you ask yourself, is this going to be, am I going to be better someday, like, is this going to get fixed? And after a few, too, you start thinking long term a bit, right? But I saw some good doctors, and they reassured me, and I'm back on the ice now. I feel good, and I'm having a lot of fun, so I don't want to stop right now. Yeah,
that's one of the things when you have a concussion like that. He said he felt like the old number two. He felt like the deuce, and you never quite know when you're going to feel better. And when that moment happens, that first day that everything's back to normal, has got to be a relief.
No, without a doubt. And with concussions, like he said, I mean, one day you feel good, the next day you don't. But even just listening to that and hearing him say it once again, the one thing that keeps on rolling in my mind every time I hear that soundbite there is, I'm trying to think of another athlete in another sport that would apologize for saying crap and say, can I say that, with all the F-bombs and everything else that people drop all over the place. This guy is so he was genuinely concerned, like, wait, can I say that? Is that a little bit out there?
He has been getting a lot of questions, though, about his time in Pittsburgh and certainly a lot of success there. And it was nice to hear him reflect on his time in Pittsburgh.
I don't know. Like, in hockey, everything moves fast. I think I was fortunate to be in one place for so long, And nowadays I feel like there's a lot of guys moving around quickly, And I had a great time. And you know, some stuff are out of my hand, and I was lucky though to come to a great team, great organization, and team's doing well too. We're winning some games, you know, and I'm a lucky man.
Three cups aside, what is your best memory of your time in Pittsburgh?
And it's been lots, you know. I've definitely made a lot of great friends over the years, great teammates, you know, saw a lot come by, and the staff around the rink, you know, that you see every day in the locker room and stuff. I think it's the fans too, you know. I met a lot of people on and off the ice, you know, and maybe not as much on the ice, but around the rink, right, I met a lot of people. Everybody was always great to me, to my family, and very supportive.
It's one of the things about Marc-Andre Fleury that, you know, there's certainly the storyline about his teammates, but he's the kind of guy that does know the attendants at the rink and does know the chefs that are a part of the team and everyone around it. And he said that's, you know, one of the things that he's missed is those people.
And another thing about it, too, Marc-Andre Fleury, he's physically not in Pittsburgh anymore, but the stuff he's done with the charity works and the playgrounds and this, that, and everything else, the Marc-Andre Fleury's influence will forever be in Pittsburgh. He's ingrained in that community, and now he's getting ingrained out here. You can't ask for a better, more quality guy.
No, so one of the things that we've been excited about is he's going to stare down some of those teammates for the first time, Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Chris Letang, and it's probably a whole lot more fun for us than it is for those guys, but he also talked about facing his old team for the first time.
I've played so many times against some of these guys in practice, right, and we always go at it, yell at each other a bit, you know, so it's going to be competitive for sure.
It's obviously going to be an emotional game for you. So how do you block out those emotions and kind of prevent them from becoming a distraction?
Just thinking about my the puck, trying to stop the puck, you know, and not worry too much about what guys are thinking that they're going to shoot at, that what they're thinking that I'm thinking, you know. I think it's, I face them so much, you know, so it's, I think I don't want to get lost into my head thinking too much about what's coming, you know, and just play the game, play relax, and have some fun with it.
Talking about how he just needs to go back to read and react and try not to think too much about all those hours and all those practices that he saw all those moves.
Yeah, and remember this too. As much as he's going to say he's going to try not to do that, it's going to be in the back of his mind. But the guy coming at him is also going to think and go, wait, I did this all the time. This used to work once in a while. This didn't. They're going to be thinking as well. So it is a little bit of a chess game there.
One of the things that you had talked about is his lasting impression that he left on Pittsburgh, and that's not just in the community, it's on the team, and it's what he did with Matt Murray, and he was asked about Matt Murray and his emergence as an NHL goaltender.
He's patient, you know, he's tall, covers a lot of net, reads the play well, is very calm to it, stays calm, you know, whatever happens usually, so he's mature for a young guy.
Do you have any favorite memories of playing with him?
I think just winning, right? I mean, that's what it's all about. And being able to share with a, you know, good young goaltender like he is. And he's going to have a good future, too. So I was fortunate to share that with him.
You know that even though they're 200 feet apart, that he'll be excited for Matt Murray to go out there and have a good performance tonight. You want to get the win, but he certainly wants to see Matt Murray perform well tonight. But in equal time is what we like to give. And so we got an opportunity, Frank, to catch up with Sidney Crosby and ask him about his thoughts on Vegas and his thoughts about seeing Marc-Andre Fleury for the first time.
I think, you know what, they all play the same way, every line. I think they work really hard. They're committed to play as a team, and they get guys that are contributing, you know, from different areas, from their defensemen. All four lines contribute. I think they're a really confident group right now, and you know, I think that, you know, they seem to have some really good games here. They feed off their crowd here. So, I think they're playing a team game, and we've got to be prepared to make sure we do the same.
You've talked so much about, you know, trying to find consistency and everything this year. It's been a struggle. When you have a game like tomorrow where, you know, you're playing a guy like Marc-Andre, does it make it different or refreshing? Because I don't think you're going to be thinking about, you know, the big picture. You're going to be thinking about winning that hockey game in that game.
Yeah, I think it's, can probably think a little bit more short term instead of looking ahead, and I think that's probably not a bad thing. I think that that's probably got to be our approach, regardless of the situation tomorrow, but I think you're right, it does help. And you know, right now the points are so important. You know, I think you look at our division and how tight it is. You can't afford to lose games in a row, so we've got to find ways to get, you know, get momentum and put some together. But hopefully that helps playing here tomorrow.
People joke about, you know his secrets, he knows your secrets. Is there any a serious question? Is there anything to that?
Yeah, there is. You know, I think when you shoot on a goalie for 12 years, I think he gets to know your tendencies pretty good. And I like to think I know a few things about him too, but it'll be up to me to, you know, hopefully find those opportunities, and, you know, up to us to generate those. But I think, you know, hopefully it works out that I can get a couple looks and see what I can do with them.
I would imagine through the course of the average game, you don't talk to the opposing goalie a whole lot.
This may be different.
Probably going to be different.
Yeah, this may be different. He's pretty vocal in there, so if he's hooting and hollering, that's probably not good for us. So, you know, hopefully it's not too much on his side.
Should you score on him tomorrow? Anything extra in the celebration?
No, but it'll be a pretty big smile if it ends up happening. I can tell you that. Yeah.
People talk about how it's going to be emotional. The impression I get from talking to him today and talking to you is fun is a big part of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, at this point, it's, you know, it's a big game for both teams. And, you know, I'm sure it's one that he's probably been looking at for a while. But once you get out there, it's competition. And, you know, we had a great time playing together. And, you know, it's different, you know, probably looking at him on the other side. But if that's going to be the case, then we're both going to try to do our best to, you know, see who comes out with the win.
Yeah, and that's Sidney Crosby there talking before tonight's game. And I like what he said, and we had alluded to it earlier on in the show here today. They would like to keep Marc-Andre Fleury quiet, because when he's talking a lot is when things are going good, he's in that groove. We want to hear a very vocal, loud Marc-Andre Fleury tonight at T-Mobile.
I certainly do, and it should be good times indeed. And like I said, storylines all over the place. James Neal, one of those guys that's going to be involved in everything, and he was talking about his opportunity to face Pittsburgh tonight.
Yeah, just excited. I think any time, you know, the Penguins come in town, you know, their team travels well and their fans travel well, so the building will be packed with lots of excitement, and definitely an emotional game for Flower playing against his old team. So, you know, we're going to do everything we can to beat him for Flower, and I'm sure, you know, want to get a big win.
A lot of times the narrative is it's just another game, just another game. Does this one feel different, though?
Yeah, I think it does, just for the ties we have to the team, you know, and to this defending Stanley Cup champions coming into your building, so it's always a good test. They have some of the best players in the world, if not the best players in the world, on their team, so, you know, anytime that happens, there's always going to be a little bit more buzz around the arena, a little bit more buzz with the media. You know, everyone's excited for that.
When it comes to Pittsburgh, everybody's talking about Marc-Andre Fleury tonight, and rightfully so. He's won 3 Stanley Cups with him. But you've played with the Penguins, and you've played against the Penguins as well. Is there any special thoughts or feelings for you in this game?
Yeah, I mean, I love my time in Pittsburgh. I you know, still have good friends there and really enjoyed the guys. So it's definitely tough losing to him last year in the finals. So, you know, that's always there, but you always enjoy playing them. Like I said, they're just a great team. So it's a good test for our club. And like, the buzz around everything is going to be exciting.
After Pittsburgh tonight, this is still a pretty tough homestand for you guys. You have Florida, which will probably be another emotional game on Sunday, then Tampa Bay and Washington. So although you guys have had great success at T-Mobile thus far this season with the holidays and everything else, is it a little bit harder to focus, or with the teams on your schedule here, is that not a problem whatsoever?
I mean, there's lots going on. I think there always is here. So for us, it's just stay focused before the break. It's it's easy to get caught up in everything and have your mind drift a little bit, but for us and our guys, and especially the older guys, got to keep everybody, you know, in the moment. These are big games for us, and we want to go into the break on a winning note. So I think it's something we can do. We have some tough teams ahead of us, and we're playing some good hockey at home. So hopefully we can continue that.
It was James Neal talking about tonight's matchup. Pittsburgh Penguins, Vegas Golden Knights, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock puck drop, Frank.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to this one, too. And my, getting back with Matt Murray just real quick here, I did want to throw this in. Not too many guys have two Stanley Cup championships under their belt after their technically rookie season.
Yeah, he has certainly been a benefit of his relationship with Marc-Andre Fleury. Still more to get to here on the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Big one tonight, Frank. Pittsburgh Penguins defending Stanley Cup champions coming to T-Mobile, taking on your Vegas Golden Knights. Big night for a lot of players. James Neal, Derek Englund, Marc-Andre Fleury, not to mention that we're going to get to see some of the biggest stars in the NHL, in Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin. Big night tonight.
That's just another game.
Yes, no, another game, no. Right.
What I thought was really cool was when we talked to Turk today and he sat down, well, and he stood up there and addressed the media, even he admitted that there's a different feel to that game. Because you hear that coach speak and players always saying it's just another game. Even the players and coaching staff are admitting, yeah, this isn't just a regular game.
What I like is what we talked about Derek Englund yesterday, and we were saying, you know, is this an opportunity to use a game in a long stretch to kind of re-energize you as opposed to just looking at it as any other game? And that's what he said. Yeah, this is an energy game that helps break up the monotony of the schedule. So good for them. But there's even more Golden Knights news happening, as a couple of the prospects, guys we like to check in on from time to time, Cody Glass and Nick Suzuki, they're getting a look from Team Canada right now, who's having their camp in order to pick the players for the World Junior Championships, and both of them in the mix to get a spot.
Yeah, and not only in the mix to get a spot, but also a rarity on this particular team, because Glass and Suzuki, two of only six 18-year-old players that are trying out for the Junior Championship team from Canada. The other 27 players who are in the tryouts, all born in 1998 and in their final year of eligibility. So Mr. Glass and Mr. Suzuki, and they both said how they met each other here and they've gotten to know each other a little bit more. Now they're fast becoming friends. If you are not familiar with them and you haven't listened to the show since before the season started, and that when we started doing all this stuff, these are two names you want to write down, because they are two names you are going to know on the Golden Knights roster down the road.
And they have had a lot of success just on their junior teams. Cody Glass, 48 points, 20 goals, and 28 assists in 30 games. And Nick Suzuki, 44 points, 17 goals, 27 assists in just 26 games.
And Cody Glass, the first-round draft pick, number 6 overall, definitely high expectations. But I got to tell you, I love watching Nick Suzuki play. He's not the biggest guy out there, but he's got that little bit of an edge to him. And on a breakaway or something like that, his hands are sick. He is so skilled.
And I always like when players say, oh, you know, I just pay attention to what I do. And when Nick Suzuki was asked if he was aware of what kind of season Cody Glass was having, he said, I'm always checking in on him, seeing how many points he's got. So he likes the little competition, and that will only serve them well when they're both up here. But, yeah, I can't wait for these two kids to get up here. Great human beings in addition to being good hockey players.
And I can't wait. I hope they both make Team Canada, because I want to watch all those games.
Yeah, I do too. And they're going to have the big outdoor game against Team USA, so lots to look forward to on Team Canada. Stick with us. T.C. Martin, the doctor, is next.